everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. On the other side of the glass, Mr. Allen is our engineer and producer on this June 22nd, a Thursday afternoon. And yes, Ray, it was a little bit cooler this morning. However, of course, there's always a trade-off. The humidity levels starting to go up a little bit. So for those with the swamp coolers, they're not going to be working quite as efficiently. The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And if you're anywhere near a computer, anywhere in the world, you can listen to our program. We have it live at my website, buckmastershow.com. We also have, of course, kvoi.com that has the live program. And if you miss a portion of the program, usually within an hour of the conclusion of the program, we have it up available on podcasts. And we pretty much have, in the 6.5 years we've been doing this radio show, we pretty much got every show archived. So almost becoming of historic importance there, a historic archive, the Buckmaster Show. The live line number, if you'd like to join in our conversation, and if you have a question or comment, we always welcome those. 790-2040 is our live line number. And of course, we have a very active Facebook page. You can find us at Bill Buckmaster. We also do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now to the program Mike Hammond. Mr. Hammond was appointed 2 years ago by Governor Ducey to the 7-member State Transportation Board. He is the representative for the Pima County region. The members of the board do serve 6-year terms, and they represent the local communities throughout Arizona, prioritizing transportation needs, projects, and funding. Mike Hammond has been in commercial real estate since 1978. He is the CEO and founder of Cushman & Wakefield PICOR, an independent commercial real estate brokerage and management firm here in Tucson. He's also the past president of the Arizona Association for Economic Development. He serves on the boards of Sun Corridor, Inc., Metro Tucson Chamber of Commerce, a bunch of other. He's very much, let's put it this way, Mike, we could spend the whole half hour talking about your community involvement. Good to see you, sir.
Glad to be here, Bill.
Let's talk about, because I want to get into real estate during the half hour, but let's begin with the Transportation Board. You and your colleagues approved kind of the 5-year plan. What's the view from 30,000 feet, Mike, for this program?
The 5-year plan is has been approved, and it has a lot of, I won't say new projects, but we've been able to accelerate some projects, primarily because, I won't say funding is robust, but the projections are certainly going in the right direction since the Great Recession. So the 5-year plan represents the expenditures programmed in 5-year, in 1-year buckets over the next 5 years. Probably the biggest addition to the 5-year plan is the completion of I-10, basically from Phoenix to the turnoff to Chandler at just south of the Gila River Bridge.
Right.
That segment's a little problematic and won't be in the 5-year plan, but we will be finishing the Picacho Peak section and also the I-8, I-10 interchange section, so that'll be a continuous three lanes both directions.
And Mike, what about after you do cross over on the Gila River Bridge there? It seems like that pavement, it gets really bad, mm-hmm. and that's going through Indian Nation land mm-hmm. up to the Maricopa County line. That's a problem.
Yes, and there's been a number of constituents that have basically asked the board of director or the state board why there's been no progress made on that. And ADOT will be focusing on it now that the South Mountain Freeway, which also goes through the Indian Nation, is pretty much through its all the legal issues that they had to get through to get that project under construction. They put the section on I-10 over the Gila River on hold pending the completion of that process. The challenge they have going through the Indian Nation is that there are promises made going back 50 years on how that expansion would look like. And there's going to need to be some changes made in how that expansion occurs.
So this has been talked about for 50 years.
Yeah. My sense is something will be in the 6 to 10 year plan. Even if we had a solution today, uh-huh. as far as the design, the environmental impact studies, and all of the things we'd have to do to start construction, it would still not be in the 5 year plan. But ADOT is well aware of that stretch of road and intends to be focusing on that process here shortly.
Last August, we were coming back from Phoenix. We got caught in a dust storm, and this is the first time that's happened to me. Right at the place where this typically happens, up there by Picacho Peak, mm-hmm. and it was really frightening. We were able to make it to that rest area and pull in and kind of wait it out. But is ADOT addressing this situation up there about the kind of a dust detection and warning system?
Absolutely. It was approved in the five-year plan. I don't recall the exact dollar amount, but it was seven figures to put together a dust protection program and plan. The money was prioritized in Governor Ducey's budget. So this is something that the state has said they wanted, and the state is providing the funds to do that. It still doesn't eliminate the need to just be a smart traveler and pull over to the side and get out of the way if you see a dust storm. As you know, they come up very quickly, but we are addressing what we can.
How about our region? What is Pima County, what kind of benefits can we look for in the 5 years?
Well, actually, there's a lot of, if you look at the expenditures over the next 5 years, much of it is in southern Arizona, not just benefiting the Tucson region, but the entire state. For example, SR-189, is the connection between I-19 and the Mariposa port of entry going into Mexico. ADOT has programmed $65 million to widen that out, and it should and help the entire state move the produce not only into our state, but also through our state. We also have major construction going on right now at the Ajo I-19 interchange, the Irvington I-19 interchange, the Ina Road mm-hmm. I-10 interchange. As you know, Ina's closed for a little less than two years now. Also, there's dollars programmed for the Houghton I-10 interchange and a couple of other intersections on the I-10 corridor heading to the east.
That's a $39 million expenditure at I-10 and Houghton. So that's a good chunk of change there.
Yeah, and if you drive into the U of A Science and Tech Park anytime during rush hour, you will see that traffic actually backs out onto I-10 and completely fills the off-ramp, making a very dangerous situation that ADOT's going to be addressing.
So how do some of these projects then kind of dovetail with what RTA and the Regional Transportation Authority are doing, or is it separate entities?
Well, see, that is a very good question. The reason you see all these projects, primarily the reason you see them, is because of the half-cent sales tax that the voters in Pima County passed. ADOT administers those funds and also adds some state money where needed, and there is significant...
Oh, I didn't realize. They do the administration of that.
Yes. All those projects are administered, contracted for, and construction management is done by ADOT.
So ADOT plays a huge role in what RTA does then.
Right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I don't think most people understand that connection, though.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, because they see all this construction going on down here, especially the rural areas, will say, well, why aren't we getting our roads fixed? Well, Pima County passed their own road tax, basically, mm-hmm. to do these projects, as did Maricopa County. And Pinal County will be voting in a couple of months on their own half-cent sales tax to accelerate some of their road needs in Pinal County.
So it looks like this is a very ambitious five-year plan, maybe more so than we've seen in past years, right? Because the financial situation is improving.
Absolutely. And not only that, there's a program called Tiger Grant Program that we were able to access for some of the projects. So that's not state money, that's federal money. Also, Governor Ducey, recognizing the need to move commerce through our state from Mexico, accelerated the SR-189 project by by having a $25 million grant that came from the state for that project in addition to the other monies. That total project going into Port of Mariposa is a $65 million project.
Now, how about the Sonoran Corridor study that would link I-10 and I-19?
Yeah, the Sonoran Corridor takes off on or about where the casino is on I-19, mm-hmm. and would connect over around the Rita Ranch area, mm-hmm. and cut off a number of miles. I want to say 10 or 12, maybe 15 miles of freeway for traffic coming from Mexico. It's the beauty of this particular corridor is that it's not that long, and it could be a test track for innovative federal programs on how to move traffic across the interstate system more efficiently, because it's not existing. So there's a strong feeling we can get federal money for this. The environmental impact study is occurring as we speak. It's a phase one, which basically means they will identify a 2,000-foot-wide corridor where the road could go. It could go through Sahuarita. It could go north of Sahuarita. It could go through the Aerospace and Defense Park. But right now, all those issues are being examined. They cover everything from archaeological to right-of-way acquisition and a number of different factors.
And the timetable on this?
Should be done, I believe, late this year or early next year.
All right, Mike Hammond sticks around for another segment. We're talking transportation. I also want to talk to him about the real estate picture and economic development. So there's a lot more to talk about. We'll take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry will join us. The Friday Roundtable features Jim Nintzel, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and live stream at buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show, a very full hour as usual. Mike Hammond is with us. Mike is the Pima County representative on the 7-member State Transportation Board. He's also the CEO and founder of Cushman Wakefield PICOR, a commercial real estate brokerage and management firm here in Tucson. But before we get to some of the commercial real estate questions that I have for you, Scott, one of our listeners, has just sent me an email about the section of Houghton between the new railroad bridge and the Houghton I-10 interchange, just wondering when that might be worked, and is it possibly in the plan?
I believe it is. There's a pretty good, I want to say $30 or $40 million planned for that Houghton I-10 interchange, and I would be surprised if that didn't extend north over the railroad bridge, so I'm pretty sure it's in the five-year plan. It's a very important piece of Houghton.
Mike, you've been around town a long time. My goodness, 1978. So you've been here a long time. And have you ever seen the market look this good economically? Have we turned the corner on things right now?
Well, the corner's been a kind of a broad arc and not a quick right angle. But yes, I would say without a question, in my 40 years in commercial real estate, I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's 40 years.
Not seen it this potentially good. There's always pitfalls, and as you probably know, we tend to find ways to slow things down.
Can shoot ourselves in the foot, can't we, sometimes?
We can. But you see, there's kind of we're coming out of a recession, and that's a major factor. Home building is coming back, and I think you'll see housing starts double next year, which brings a lot of construction jobs. You've got Raytheon adding a couple thousand jobs. You've got Caterpillar.
High-paying jobs, yes. Engineering jobs.
You've got Caterpillar coming in with 400. You've got the city and the county working together as well as I've ever seen. You've got a governing body that understands the importance of the private sector more so than ever and is encouraging development and related construction jobs that go with it. So again, we lagged coming out of the recession primarily because we lagged going into it. We have a lot of government employment. And as we come out of this recession, I don't see it slowing down. Even my Mexico business is doing pretty well right
now. That's a business you're very proud of. You just spent about a week in one of these Spanish language immersion courses. You try to do that periodically. You're down in Pueblo, Mexico. How is that scene look right now? And has the whole talk of a border, has it kind of dampened the border wall? Has it dampened the enthusiasm?
Well, I would say the wall, no. If you talk to the companies, my primary focus is the state of Sonora. And the companies down there are more concerned about getting trade through the ports of entry legally, their business specifically is not affected by a wall getting built or not. The probably the broader issue is they are very concerned about changes in NAFTA. A typical product crosses that border 8 times before it's completed. Sort of impose a border tax, it would be very complicated, just the accounting of it, because products go back and forth. And for example, a car produced in Mexico has 40% U.S. content.
Wow.
A car produced in China has 6%. So you see a lot of U.S. products going back and forth, and that's causing some concern, not to the companies that are there, but I've seen a pause in companies going there. They haven't taken their plans off the table yet, but they are waiting to see how the NAFTA discussion and the free trade discussion plays out.
In the whole, in your industrial sector, that I know it's an area that you follow, are we doing better in filling up our industrial space in the Tucson Valley?
Oh, absolutely. Our vacancy rates in industrial were double digit just a year ago, and they're well under into single digits. And when you take out some of the what we would call a functionally obsolete building, just an old building, maybe ceiling height's too low and other issues, there's very little vacancy in the industrial market. There's some big spaces out there we'd like to see companies move into, but in the actual what we would call mom and pop spaces like Midway Business Park and Speedway, the old drive-in site, they're almost full. The small companies are either expanding or starting to meet the kind of the growing demand that the city is experiencing in pretty much all sectors.
But you say there is some big space available if somebody were to want to come here and bring a big operation.
Sure, the largest.
You could accommodate that? It's available.
The largest vacancy is the Lisa Frank building at the airport, the one that has the hearts and painted hearts and musical symbols on the side.
Yep.
That building is over 300,000 feet.
And
is well positioned to accept a large company. Sometimes are attracted by the vacancies themselves. So, and there's other vacancies. The old Pella building, which was Weiser Lock on West Valencia. That's 250,000 plus square feet. So we do have some large vacancies that we can accommodate a single, company that wants to come and find, but needs existing space, doesn't have time to have a building built for them.
And then downtown has just really exploded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And hats off to Fletcher McCusker and the board of Rio Nuevo. You know, that they are functioning as an entity, and that's although downtown has been resurging for a number of years, the organizational professionalism that Rio Nuevo has brought to the process has, without a doubt, been the key factor in the acceleration of downtown's resurgence. It's really fun to watch and fun to go to when you want to have a nice dinner.
So the economic climate here is much better, you're saying, than it has been.
It is, and that's not just because of things we're doing. The whole state is focused well on sending a more positive message than maybe we have in the past. And I'll say this tongue in cheek: we have North Carolina to detract, to deflect the view on some of the things that we were blamed for in the past. There's other states I think that are sending what I would call a more mean-spirited message out there, and we're trying very hard, I think, to send a positive message that we're open for business, and Governor Ducey's laser focused on that point.
And I know you're also in many areas you're involved with the Tucson Airport Authority, and hopefully when the service starts up again, the nonstop service into New York, maybe we can get people. It's not that many extra seats that need to be filled to keep that thing going year round.
No, and I was not. I'm not actually on the board of the Airport Authority. I am a member.
Okay.
Hats off to Bill Ossenbacher, who really led the charge to get that flight to New York, and I think showed that it's a viable route. The conditions to keep that plane going in the air was probably a little too tough to meet, like 100% full at
Yeah.
At prices.
Total capacity.
Yeah. So, but the but the plane did fly, I believe, at 80 to 85% capacity. Which
I think
is
it was like about 83%. Yeah. Which is, you're right, 80 to 85%.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So anytime we can get direct flights, you know, it's a chicken egg situation. We've got to grow to have the demand, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes to have the, you know, to bring the companies here, we need the flights.
Right.
So I think the airport is one of the best airports. When I travel all over this country, it's a very well run airport. Bonnie Allen does a great job.
It's looking real good too with the expansion there and the redo. They're really making it look very, very good. Okay, Mike Hammond, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for all you do for our community, for the State Transportation Board, and of course your work with Cushman & Wakefield PACCAR. We thank you very much for your support. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll be right back. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, one of the really beautiful places in the southwestern United States. And the rains have already come over to that area. They've started in Silver City in the Gila National Wilderness. So things greening up, so it might be a nice weekend getaway, just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City, and go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their website for the many places to stay. Very nice places, a couple dozen places to choose from, and a couple of dozen recreation ideas as well in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. I know my next guest knows that area very well. He is Bill Doley, Bill's president and CEO of the Tucson-based nonprofit Archaeology Southwest. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well today. Good to be back, Bill.
You do know Silver City, don't you?
Yes, we actually have a field school going on up in within about 45 minutes of Silver City at the moment.
And it's a very beautiful area indeed. Bill, when you were with us a couple of months ago, you really broke a little news here on the program because you said that the president would be revisiting, through an executive order, a review of designations under the Antiquities Act, and that covers, I believe, quite a few, 27, right, Bill, national monuments?
That's correct.
Since what, 1996?
Yep, between 96 and the present, and any of them that were over 100,000 acres were put on that list.
So where are we now, Bill Doley?
Well, there were two parts to that order, and the first part said, Secretary Zinke, Secretary of Interior, get out there and evaluate the Bears Ears National Monument that was established at the end of December of last year, and bring back a recommendation in 45 days. So on June 12th, just 10 days ago, that was made public. So that's we've seen that first part, and then there's a due date for all of the monuments to be reviewed by the end of August.
Why? It seems like, Bill, they were focusing on Bears Ears. That seems to be a kind of a primary area. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's the amount of protest that's particularly coming out of the Utah delegation. So they've pushed back the Utah governor. So there's a strong kind of among the politicians of Utah, a strong pushback regarding that monument.
What has the response been like?
Well, very interestingly, the Secretary Zinke opened up public comment, and it was only a 15-day time frame for making public comments, and over 700,000 comments were actually received in that short time frame.
Wow.
And an analysis of them has shown that 99% of those have been favorable towards maintaining Bears Ears as is.
Hmm. What was the secretary talking about in size reduction? What were some of the things that have been talked about on the table?
Well, the recommendation came out actually it's a bit vague. He's calling it an interim recommendation. And in terms of the size reduction, he definitely says it should be a smaller monument. And the implication in sort of the wording is that he would choose a subset of places and basically draw a line on a map around them and say those are important places that deserve protection, and the rest is outside and would no longer be part of the monument.
Five Native American tribes feel very strongly about this Bears Ears National Monument in Utah, don't they?
Yes, and I think that's the piece about Bears Ears. These five tribes have advanced this concept, and they've had partners in the archaeological community, in the outdoor recreation community, a very broad set of collaborators on promoting this new national monument. And the role that the tribes were going to play or are currently playing, because Bears Ears exists today, there is a Bears Ears Commission. Five representatives from Hopi, Navajo, Zuni, and two of the Ute tribes of the area are advising the BLM and the Forest Service on how to implement this national monument. And the response from the tribes has been very strong and negative to this recommendation of reduction of size.
How does this fit in with your particular work at Archaeology Southwest, Bill Doley?
Well, we've been one of those groups trying to be an ally and a collaborator in this effort. We've put out an issue of our magazine that highlighted the incredible landscape, cultural landscape of that area back in 2014. We've continued to be part of the advocacy for the monument, and we will continue so in the future. The secretary's comment just makes a reference to there are some objects in this monument that merit protection. Archaeologically, there's over 100,000 sites expected to be in that area, and only 10% of the area has actually been looked at.
Wow.
There are Native American sacred places there, places where they use the wild resources for their ritual and ceremonial purposes. So there's a lot there, and thinking of them as big buildings that we would call a monument, like the Casa Grande Ruin National Monument, a four-story adobe here in southern Arizona. The ruins up there are really part of a sacred landscape and a cultural landscape, and I think they have to be thought of in that kind of holistic manner rather than the kind of approach that the secretary seems to be taking.
Now, there are 27 national monuments that are under review. How about here in Arizona? How many fall into that, and which ones are they?
We've got four here in Arizona, and so here in the Tucson and Phoenix area, our neighbors are Ironwood Forest National Monument and Sonoran Desert National Monument over near Gila Bend, in the Buckeye-Gila Bend area. And up north, near Flagstaff, a little north of there, we've got Grand Canyon Parashant and the Vermilion Cliffs National Monuments. All those have been around since 2000 and 2001 when President Clinton established them through the Antiquities Act.
But again, it seems like the focus is on the bear's ears up in Utah.
Well, it's uncertain. The one effort that Zinke has indicated he will pursue is if there are mineral or oil and gas type resources, those seem to be the kinds of areas that he would advocate downsizing. So there's that kind of a hint in his comments, but it's really unclear how he's going to react to these other monuments, and I think it's, for those of us who think those are very special places, I think it's very important that we try to provide comments to the secretary, and there is an option to do that until July 10th of this year on a government website called regulations.gov or a private sector website called monumentsforall.org. Either of those places are very relatively simple ways to make your personal opinions about the monument and protecting it for the future. Get your voice into this whole system.
When will the final report be out?
Late in August. So August 24th, 25th, we would expect to see the final recommendations, and that's where Secretary Zinke said that for Bears Ears 2, he would defer until that date the final recommendation. So that's why it's still a little bit vague now how this is all going to work.
Bill, I've got about a minute left. Tell our listeners kind of the thumbnail sketch about the work you do at Archaeology Southwest, please.
Sure. We do what we call our work preservation archaeology, which is one of the reasons that we're so active in this effort. So trying to see that archaeological resources are non-renewable resources, that we have to look for their long-term protection. So we do research to try to tell the story of these places. We share information broadly with the public, and then we actually own or either conservation easements or own properties outright to protect them long-term under our own sort of control here at Archaeology Southwest. So it's a uniform approach to preservation for the long term.
And you are based here in Tucson.
We are.
And folks can learn more by going to?
Our website is a little bit long, but it's simple. It's archaeologysouthwest.org.
There you go. Bill Doley, always a pleasure talking with you, and I will let our listeners know that I've been a member of Archaeology Southwest, and it's a very, very good investment. I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bill Doley is the president and CEO of the Tucson-based Archaeology Southwest. We are a bit past, we're 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be right back talking with a candidate who would like to be the next superintendent of public instruction in Arizona. Be right back.
With a little humor and whimsy, Tona Chula is honoring the environmental significance of native bees during National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party. Meet your bee and enjoy locally distilled Three Wells Tequila and Whiskey Del Bac. Sample the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb. And try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaries. Join them on Friday, June the 23rd for a pollinator party. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over at Green Things. I love this place over on 13 acres, just chock full of green things. 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. Has the full listing of their many free workshops that they have coming up. And of course, with this very hot weather, I've been out there watering 6 a.m. in the morning and then hitting it again about 6 p.m. But anything that's in a pot on the patio, really with these kinds of extreme temperatures, needs the double watering. Let's welcome now David Shapira to the Buckmaster Show. David is a Tempe City Councilman, been so since 2014. Prior to the council, David served in the Arizona House of Representatives, the State Senate, as the Arizona Senate Minority Leader. He also has spent some time on the school board up in Tempe, correct, David?
That's right.
Good
yeah.
to see you. Thank you, sir,
good
for
to see
coming.
You as well.
Why now? You obviously have a love of education, right? I mean, you served during the legislature. You served on the Education Committee throughout your time up there in Phoenix.
So. That's right. And, you know, politics has honestly been more of a hobby for me. The part of my resume you didn't get to is the education piece. And that's I started my career as a high school teacher. And I actually went and taught at my old high school in Phoenix. And have worked in education for most of my career. I was a high school teacher. I then taught at the university level. And then for the last 4 years, I've been the assistant superintendent of a JTED, a Joint Technical Education District that does career and technical education. Down here, you have Pima JTED. Up in the valley, we have the East Valley Institute of Technology, where I've served as the assistant superintendent for the last 4 years.
So really, education is your profession.
It is my profession. I have my master's degree is in education leadership, and I've worked as an educator. And I know it seems strange, but we haven't had a superintendent who was a professional educator since I was 14 years old.
Wow.
So it's been quite some time.
Who was that? Do you recall?
That was Diane Bishop from
Diane
down here.
Diane Bishop. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Boy, I remember that. Anyway, David, what will be some of your cornerstone issues in this run?
Well, I believe that the superintendent of public instruction should be an advocate for public schools. Unfortunately, we've had a string of superintendents who have either worked intentionally or not stopped the legislature or held the legislature accountable for their task that they've seen in the last 20, 30 years of trying to dismantle the public school system. We need a superintendent, I believe, who will be an advocate for public schools to ensure that every neighborhood in this state has high-quality schools and that every Arizona student, every Arizona child has access to a high-quality school that's in, you know, geographic proximity. And so that's, I think, a priority that our education system should be exercising, but we haven't had a superintendent who's done that, again, since the early 90s. And the other piece is we have a State Department of Education, a department that represents the largest portion of our state budget, 800 employees. And for years, Tom Horn, John Hoopenthal, and now Diane Douglas have put people in positions at that State Department who were not necessarily professional educators. Now, the few and far between professional educators that they've had over the years, they have quit under Diane Douglas. And they call it Hatchet Friday almost every Friday nowadays. She finds someone with a master's degree in education or a doctorate in education, and she marches them out the door because she doesn't want to have people there who are actually knowledgeable education professionals. I want to change directions. I'm tired of being dead last in the country by every education metric, whether it's per pupil spending or achievement metrics or teacher salaries. And so I want to change directions. I want to invest in our public schools to ensure every kid in this state has access to a high-quality education.
Have we put too much emphasis on charter schools in this state?
You know, certainly in a school choice scheme, which Arizona is, you know, the Wild West of school choice, in a school choice scheme where 85% of children are choosing a traditional public school, You would think that wasn't the case when you're down at the state capitol, because they spend their time talking about charter schools and private schools. And this session was private schools.
And it's private and charter schools seem to be kind of a front burner focus of lawmakers.
Despite the fact that 85% of families in Arizona are choosing traditional public schools.
And so why is that then the focus?
I think that, you know, I used to think it was an accident, or that it was unintentional, or that they were just oblivious or ignorant to what was going on in the school system. But I've come around to the belief that it is intentional, and that the intent is that there are folks, you know, I was the Senate Minority Leader when Russell Pierce was the Senate President. I served with Andy Biggs in the state legislature, and we hear from Republicans even nowadays at the state capitol who believe that essentially government should not be in the business of education. They believe that education should be a product to be bought and sold, and they think, like Mitt Romney said, that you should just get as much education as you can afford. And so it is intentional. They've been working for decades to dismantle the public school system to the point where our public schools today are on life support. And if Diane Douglas is reelected as our state superintendent, she will let our public school system die. And we are at that crucial pivotal point in our state history where we have to decide whether or not we believe that there should be public schools accessible to all Arizonans that provide high quality education.
Dr. Garcia, the ASU educator, ran unsuccessfully against Diane Douglas. But it was interesting because he won the metro areas of the state. I believe he won all three of our metro areas. He won Tucson, Phoenix, and Flagstaff. But Diane Douglas was very strong in the rural areas. How do you kind of explain that?
Well, you know, David Garcia was a first-time candidate,
right,
in 2014. Had never run for office, had never held any public office. And so he spent a lot of time on Maricopa County and building up his name recognition there, and a little bit of time in Tucson, Flagstaff, and other parts of the state. You know, I have the advantage of having been elected in Maricopa County for 12 years. And so I can spend a lot of my time in this campaign ensuring that people from around Arizona, outside of the great state of Maricopa, feel that they'll have in me a superintendent who will represent kids from every corner of this state. And so I plan on spending, and have already spent, quite a bit of time in Tucson. But I'll also be all across the state. Next weekend, we're heading up to Flagstaff, and we're not just going to stay in the urban area. We're going to head out to Kingman, and we've got an event in Sedona planned. We're going to be out in Winslow and Holbrook, all the way out to Window Rock. You know, we're going to be in every corner of the state, because every family in Arizona has to feel like the leader of our state school system has them and their corner of the state in mind when they make decisions for our education system in Arizona.
What did you teach in high school?
I was a math teacher when I started. It was what they needed.
Wow.
You know, I didn't study math in college, but when I went back to teach, I said, you know, what do you need? And they said, well, we need math and science teachers, and I like science and all, but I was better at math in school, so I taught math and then eventually worked my way into social studies, which is more my expertise.
There are so many issues facing whoever wins this superintendent job. We've got this Proposition 301, which is going to be sunsetting. Quick thoughts on that, please, David.
Yeah, so, you know, 301, in just 3 years from now, that funding will disappear. And so there's some potential that the 2018 ballot, and if not that, then the 2020 ballot will renew that. For those that aren't familiar with Prop 301, we passed it back in 2000. It injected a significant amount of funds into education, specifically for teacher salaries and for inflationary funding. Although the legislature has done a very poor job at complying with the voters' mandate from 2000, which is the reason we had Proposition 123 last year, because essentially the legislature refused to pay, and the court said you have to pay. And the way that the legislature, essentially tried to comply with the court decision and settled that case was last year with Prop 123, where they said, we're going to take money out of the education savings account, which is the state land trust, and we're going to use some more of that money instead of taking money out of the general fund to pay for it. So 301 has not been fully implemented or correctly implemented by this legislature. But the real scary thing is that it expires in just a few years. And just to tell you what kind of a difference 301 made, when I started teaching in the year 2001, right after it passed, I made $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
If I had started teaching a year earlier, I would have made $24,000 a year.
Wow, big boost. So
that is quite an influx of money, but you can also imagine if it goes away, what that means for education in this state.
Yeah, so many big issues coming up. David Shapira, superintendent, running for superintendent of public instruction. He is a Democrat, and he's been on the council. What have been the big issues concerning at the Tempe Union High School District Governing Board, where you served 4 years?
Yeah, I appreciate that
keeping
question.
Teachers, yeah, absolutely. I assume. Or...
And I was there during the recession.
Right.
You know, I was elected there in 2010, and so, you know, that was when we were really struggling with budgets. Mm-hmm. And lots of districts had to make some very tough decisions. And I hope people out there don't blame the school districts for what's had to happen in the recession, because it is the legislature that controls the purse strings. Mm-hmm. They give the districts money based on the number of students they have, and school board members have to make very difficult decisions when the legislature cuts that money, which they did quite a bit of in the last part of the last decade and in the early part of this decade. One thing to remember before I talk about Tempe Union, people think after Prop 123 that our schools are now flush with funding.
Right.
It's important to note that schools today in Arizona have $1.1 billion less than they had 9 years ago.
Oh.
And as a school district governing board member having to address that, what we did in Tempe, we didn't lay off any teachers like some school districts did, but we let teachers go through attrition as they left. We didn't fill the jobs, and our class sizes skyrocketed. And we've seen that in lots of school districts across the state. And that's something that we've had to go back and mitigate in the recent years.
All right, David Shapiro, where can people find out more?
David4AZ.com, David4AZ.com is my website. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Please look us up and get involved in our campaign to take back our education system.
And your last name is spelled?
It's S-C-H-A-P-I-R-A. But our website's easy, David4AZ.com.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, one of our other fine local talk shows. Ray Allen helps Mike out. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Then it's me, Bill Buckmaster. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. So we will hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Try to stay cool. The week will be soon over, and hopefully the rains will come. We'll be right back and with Michael Medved after the news.